Hello and welcome. My name is Zach Weaver, and I'm the senior pastor at Liberty Vineyard Church. I'm so glad you tuned in to the sermon today. I hope that it blesses, encourages, and challenges you as you begin to explore the abundant life God has for you. During this current season of social distancing, we are meeting online via Zoom each Sunday beginning at 10:30. We have worship, prayer, teaching, communion, and a benediction each week. Everyone is welcome. For more information on this and other weekly connect points, please visit our website at libertyvineyardchurch.com. We've been in a series called How to Build a Temple. You know, in the days of David and Solomon in ancient Israel, there was a physical temple that they built to honor the Lord their God, to make a place for him to dwell on the earth among the peoples. And, you know, it had to be very exacting specifications. Everything had to be made just right. This wasn't just your average building project that they were going through. And, you know, that building, it doesn't stand anymore. It's no longer here. The things that are built by human hands just can't last forever and ever. But instead, God has said through his Son, through his Word, multiple times in Scripture, has talked about how our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he says, "Do you not know," Paul is writing here, "that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you?" And then he goes on to say, "For God's temple is holy and you are that temple." And I want us to remember, and I bring that up just to help us remember that at the heart of all of this, of all of the directions, the instructions, the building projects, and all of the different ideas that kind of talk about foundation or the supplies that are needed, the things that we're going to do, that at the heart of this series is the idea of holiness, is the idea of building a life that is worthy of the God that dwells within us, of trying to build a life that is worthy of the God who died for us to give us a place and a way to move forward, to walk and to be with him. Of the God who has said, "I will build my home in them." And this week and last week, in light of some of the stuff that's come out with Ravi Zacharias and the RZIM Ministries, and the people that have come before, and unfortunately I know the some that will come after, I just want to remind us of the need to be dedicated to this, to not just say, "This is something I'll do in my quiet time. This is something I'll do when everybody's watching. This is something I'll do when I'm in ministry." But it's something that we're called to in every aspect of our lives. It's something that we're called to when we're in our homes and when we're in public, when we're with our friends and when we're with strangers, in all the moments, whether we're seen or unseen, that we're called to holiness. We're called to dedication. We're called to completeness, because God doesn't want some of us. He doesn't want part of our lives at a certain time. He wants all of us. And I just want to remind you, I want to remind myself that It is the core of what we're about, to be called to this level that is not what the world does, not what the world says is needed, but what God says is holy, what God says is good and right and true and pure and worthy. So how do we not give in to temptation, to fear, to negligence, to partiality? How do we not get into those things? Well, you know, last week we looked at the challenges that Solomon had laid before him by his father David and ultimately by God. And the bottom line of it was to get busy and do the work, right? This was a challenging thing, and I want to show you a phrase where David really puts a fine point on it, and it's in the next chapter from where we've been in our scripture. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and the first verse. It's the very next verse after where we've been reading in 1 Chronicles 28. So first verse in 29, there's a phrase. It's a very long verse, but there's a sentence at the end that I want to read to you. It says, "The work ahead of Solomon is enormous." All right, just insert yourself in there. You know, the work ahead of Zach is enormous. The work ahead of fill in the blank is enormous. Listen to why. Because the temple he will build, the temple you will build, the temple I will build, is not just another building. It is for the Lord God himself. That's a pretty big weight that's being laid on Solomon's shoulders. It's a pretty big weight that's being laid on our shoulders, because the temple that God's Holy Spirit is building in our hearts and our lives is not just any ordinary thing. It's not an ordinary life. We are not called to an ordinary life. We're called to an extraordinary life. We're called to a different life. We're called to a life that is higher, to a life that's more challenging, to a life that's dedicated. And I think David's words ring as true today as they did thousands and thousands of years ago. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged by the size of the task. David does something else besides these words of confidence that he is building in, that God is with us in this, that he has not left us alone, he's not left us as orphans, but he's with us. Besides that, David does something else that I think is really valuable, very helpful for us as we get into these projects and we get into this understanding of holiness and dedication and purity, and go on and on with that list. Sorry, that list is extensive. But as we get into this, he does something very helpful. It's kind of embedded in all of this scripture, but I want to read you a very specific passage. It's in, like I said, we're kind of in 1 Chronicles 28, even though that verse I read you is in 1 Chronicles 29. So go back with me a few verses to 1 Chronicles 28:6. And I want you to hear the thing that that David does that's so important. He said, and I'll even back it up in verse 5, said, "He chose my son Solomon to succeed me on the throne of his kingdom of Israel. He said to me, 'Your son Solomon will build my temple. I have chosen him as my son. I will be his father.'" These are God's words. He would go on. David would say later in verse 10 that the Lord has chosen you to build the temple. And he said in that other first verse of 1 Chronicles 29 that my son Solomon, whom God has chosen to be the next king of Israel. You know what David's doing? He's confirming the call of God on Solomon's life. He's confirming the work that's called to be done. Right? He's reinvigorating him with this call, with this dedication, with the fact that he has been chosen for this task. He's not just asking him to do it. It's not a random thing. He has been chosen specifically for this task. And I told you last week that when God calls us to do something and he chooses us to do it, he equips us for it. But sometimes, between the equipping and the calling, there can be some things that discourage us, some things that get in the way, some things that prevent, some things that keep us from being completely given over, completely dedicated, completely confident that yes, God did call me to these things. And you know what? It's embedded in that same scripture that I read you at the beginning in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1. Sandwiched in between, I want you to hear what David says. He says, "My son Solomon, whom God has chosen to be the next king of Israel." Positive. Remember those compliment sandwiches? It's a pretty positive start. And then what does he say after that? In the same breath, in the same sentence, after the comma, he is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous. What's he saying? He's got a huge task ahead of him. He's not ready for this. He doesn't have all the stuff yet. He's young. He's inexperienced. He's never built a temple before. You ever built a temple? Me neither. But the fact that he did not know how to do it and had never done it did not discount from the fact that God had called him to do it. You see, God doesn't call us to the things that we're already experts at. He didn't call Solomon the expert temple builder to build the temple. He called Solomon the young man, the novice, to build the temple. Solomon the inexperienced. Solomon the youth to build the temple. There's so many things, I think, in our life that might feel like prevent us, discount us, disqualify us, that keep us from being able to accomplish the task that God has laid before us to do. So easy for us to be overwhelmed with it and to say, I just don't even know where to begin with this. But you understand, to God, when he calls us in the calling, age is irrelevant. Stage is irrelevant. Where you are in life doesn't matter. Your experience doesn't matter. Your expertise in the field doesn't matter. Your ability doesn't matter. Because that isn't why God calls you. There's so many easy ways for us to feel like we could be discounted. But I want to just share with you. I mean, we're talking here about, he says, Solomon is still young and inexperienced. You know, Solomon at this time would have been 24 years old. This one we can put a fine point on and say that's how old he was, because we know when he was born, we know the year he started the temple. He's 24 years old. I'm old enough now that that sounds young. This is a huge task. You read that word again. The work ahead of him is enormous. 24 years old. Biggest building project ever called. Do you think he felt unqualified for this? Think he felt overwhelmed by that task? I bet he did. But David was no stranger to this. When David was called and anointed to be the next king of Israel by Samuel, David sends Samuel to David and says, go anoint him, appoint him, for he is the one. When did that call come on his life? Somewhere between 8 and 15 years old. What about in a different time, Peter, the Peter with Jesus? Jesus calls Peter, says, on this rock, I will build my church. Peter's about 25 years old at that point. To Saul, who became Paul, God tells Ananias, one of his followers, tells him to go to Paul. That's when, you know, Ananias says, you know who this guy is. You have no idea who you're sending me to talk to. God tells Ananias, I have chosen Saul for an important task. Saul was 30 or 40 years old. That's an age I can start to get a little bit more behind. Last week, I talked to you about Moses. You know how old Moses was when God called him? Around 80 years old. Now, why do I bring all these random people and all these different ages and all these different things up? Because I want you to understand that not a single one of these people was prepared for the job that God had called them for. Not only that, there's not a single age that we can look on a chart and say, oh, that's the best age for God to call you. 8 years old or 80 years old? Everything in between. Paul, talking to one of his proteges, Timothy, would tell him this exact thing, let no one despise you for your youth. But instead, set the believers an example of how to live. He doesn't say how to live. He says, set them example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. And I would challenge you, let no one despise you, not for your youth, for whatever your age is, whatever your stage is, whatever your experience, whatever your ability, let no one despise you, and don't despise yourself. What were Jesus' commandments? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love who? Your neighbor, as you what? As you love yourself. Let no one despise you. and don't despise yourself. Because if God has called you, He has equipped you. If God has called you, He's chosen you. And I'm telling you, you've been chosen by God for this moment in time, for a time such as this. And if we go on into that in Timothy, in 1 Timothy, he says, do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. What happened? Timothy was called. All at once, he's called. Just like these people, Peter and Anna and Paul and David and Solomon and Moses, they're called. When does the calling come? In a moment. Happens like that. Happens in a moment, the calling happens. Right? But the confirmation is delayed. The confirmation is drug out over a lifetime. The calling happens immediately. The confirmation takes time. And in between the calling and the confirmation, there are lots of challenges, lots of things that might become barriers, that might disrupt us, that might want to challenge what God is trying to do. David was called at 8 to 15, somewhere in there, years old, anointed the next king of Israel. What came between him and there? He was exiled, hated, tried to be killed by the current king, and then confirmed in the calling. Do you ever feel like David might have thought, whew, I think maybe Samuel got this wrong? I bet he did. What about Peter? Peter's called in that moment. Not only is he called to be a disciple of Jesus, but he says, on this rock I will build my church. And then what happened? He betrayed and denied Jesus. Moses, between the calling and the confirmation, when he actually saw the stuff happen, he's rejected by the Jews. He's rejected by Pharaoh. Nobody believes him. There are lots of reasons in here why these people might have said, boy, I might have got my call wrong. Maybe I didn't hear from God correctly. There are lots of things in here that challenge us, that stand in our way, that can discount us, that can feel like they disqualify us. But age doesn't matter, stage doesn't matter, ability doesn't matter, experience doesn't matter, and the challenges don't matter. Why? Because our confidence is not in our skill. It never was. It was never meant to be. Our confidence is in the Lord and the strength of His might. He equips us. He sustains us. He strengthens us. Look at what God did in these people's lives. Thousands and thousands and thousands of years later, we still talk about them. Why? Because God did amazing things that changed the world. But He didn't do it all at once. He didn't call and then boom, everything happened. There were lots of moments in there that could lead to doubt, lots of moments that could lead to challenge. Right, that's what I want us to get today, is that the calling comes in a moment, but the calling is confirmed over a lifetime. How was Peter's call confirmed? That day at Pentecost, when he stands up and preaches to all the people, and thousands of people came to follow Jesus. You think Peter felt like, okay, all right, this is the beginning of something. When Moses sees all of the miracles that God does and the parting of the Red Sea, when David stands and is anointed king, when Solomon finishes the temple and the Holy Spirit comes, fills the place with a cloud to the point that the priests can't even go in and do their work. Between the call and those confirmation, some challenges lay in the way. There'll be some challenges that lay in your way. And here's what I want to just kind of put a little finer point on. The call, again, I'll say it over and over, the call happens in a moment. But all of those confirmations that happened, happen as the people got to work. Right? These confirmations didn't happen as the people sat around and said, I'm just going to wait until everything is perfect. I just need to wait until I've made enough money to be able to support myself, or till I've gotten to be the age where I'm ready, till I've gotten enough you know, I've learned enough, I'm talented enough, I've built up enough skill to be able to handle this. They didn't sit around and wait. Maybe God called them to wait. But the call is confirmed as they get ready and do the work. They didn't sit around and say, did God really say that I was supposed to? Let's wait and see. No. That's why David's words to Solomon are so poignant. Right? He says, be strong, be courageous, and what? Do the work. Get to work. How do we not give in to fear? How do we not give in to temptation or negligence or partiality? How do we not feel like we're overwhelmed or can't do the thing? We start doing the work. Why? Because as we begin to do the work, God begins to step in. And as God begins to step in, we begin to grow in confidence. We begin to develop stronger and stronger understanding of where God is working, what He has called us to. I'm gonna see if I can tell you a quick story. It's from one of my favorite books. It's called Naturally Supernatural by a guy named Gary Best. And I'm gonna kind of briefly tell you this story that he tells. It tells about a dream that he has when he's been talking to God about how God is gonna use him. And some of the challenges that happen when you are not sure that God's really calling you to do something and how it can feel overwhelming. He tells a story about getting on a memory he had when he was a kid. Apparently he was a swimmer and he got up to this place that had like an Olympic-sized high dive. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen these Olympic-sized high dives, but they're way up there, right? One wrong move and you're landing somewhere pretty unsafe, and he climbs up and he talks about the story. He's like, I like really specifically remember climbing up and seeing like oxygen masks on the way, and I could see like mountain goats and people with the alpenhorns caught. It was way up there, is what he wants us to say, past the clouds and way up at the top. And so in this dream that he's having and he's talking with God, God sends him up there at the top, and God says to him, and I'm reading it out here, this is what it's like just about the time, just before the time you're about to have your faith grown and your gifting grow. And Gary says, you know, that, he says, that's wonderful. God says, okay, go. He says, I want you to look over the edge of the board. And so Gary looks over and he hangs his head over the edge of the board and he looks down into the pool. And you know what? There's no water in the pool. And Gary says, God, I don't know if you know this, but there's no water in the pool. And God says, that's perfect. You trust me and jump in and then I'm going to fill that pool with water. And Gary says, I don't know, God, can you really do that? And God says, read the book. I'm very good with water. It's one of my specialties. Gary says, you know, I realize it's a daydream, but God wants me to do this, so I decide to play along. And he said, so I take my approach and I get running. I get right at the edge of the pool and I stop and I look over. And God says, what are you doing, Gary? And he said, I'm just working on my approach, just checking. And he says, no, you're not. You're checking to see whether or not I started filling up the pool. That's not how it works. You leave the board, then I fill up the pool. Only when the process works this way is our trust fully in God and His generous provision rather than in ourselves. And this is me saying now, are you fully invested? Am I fully invested? Willing to risk it all? See, it's only when we step out that God steps in. It's when we get to work that God begins to fill up the pool. As we're working, God is confirming. God can and He will equip you for the task He's called you to, but only to the degree that you are willing to trust Him and put it all on the line. To say it's either sink or swim, sometimes literally. You got to say, if God doesn't come through with this, we're sunk. We're going to talk next week about God's provision and how God fills up the pool. And I want to look at that next time, but I want to close with this. The call to build God's temple in our lives. That call to dedicate ourselves to holiness, to godliness, to purity, to what's right, to what's true, to what's worthy, to faith, to love, to being good in our conduct, to being stand-ups in our community. That came the day that you gave your life to Christ. That's when the call happened. Right? From that day to this, he has been working. Jesus laid the cornerstone in our lives, and it doesn't matter the age or stage. God is calling you, and he's saying, get to work. Get to work. Because his calling came in the moment, but that confirmation is worked out over and over throughout your entire life as you experience these times with God, as you experience, maybe God did really say this to me because I know I couldn't have done these things on my own. As we run the race, as we fight the fight that Paul says. And it will be a fight sometimes. It will be a race sometimes. Integrity, hopefulness, joy, peace, confidence, faith, strength. These are all going to be tested. But you're not alone. He's given you, this is where we're going next week, the Holy Spirit and the body to strengthen you. What God called you to, he will equip you for as you go and start doing the work. Dear God, as we close our time together today, I thank you that you love us, that you never stop working in us and through us, that you challenge us to seek you more and more and to build your kingdom in our lives. We just invite you to continue to do your work and strengthen us for the work ahead. Bless your people, God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.